Now that the election is passed, how many are blaming someone else for their loss? Well, those of us who have played sports or root for a certain team can appreciate this point. You know, when our team lost, were we sometimes tempted to blame the umpire or the referee? And as a child, perhaps some of us can remember breaking something and then blaming it on someone else. Well, more importantly, how many want to blame God for their suffering? Let's go to John 17, the prayer of our Lord and Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faced the cross. Notice verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them, that is the disciples, in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Well, Judas is referred to here as the son of perdition, and he lost himself. Thus, Jesus was not to blame, just as today, no one can blame Jesus for being lost. That's right. Jesus not only taught Judas the truth, but he lived the truth before Judas. He loved Judas just as he loves us. We sing the hymn, Jesus Loves Me. Well, it's true, is it not? Yes, of course. Jesus was concerned for his disciples even in his hour of trial. In John 18, 8 and 9, this is when they came to arrest God in the flesh. Mere man came and arrested God in the flesh, our Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. And thus our study this morning is to answer this question. Who is to blame if I am lost? And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we can remember that with the initials PFE and strive to prepare for eternity on a daily basis. Everyone should be doing that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And that follows John 4:24, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention. If you would be interested in studying to study God's Word together, the Holy Bible, we look forward to those opportunities. Please let us know and we'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, feel free to send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, where you'll find our bulletin articles and our radio sermons. It's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning. We're asking the question, who is to blame if I am lost? And so we'll start with this. Can we blame God if we are lost? Well, many want to blame God, but notice in the text we read earlier at the beginning of the program that Jesus had lost none of his disciples, even after Judas had betrayed him. And we can see examples in God's Word where, of course, there were those who blamed God, just as we see that in our surroundings today. Hopefully, we're not doing it. But we'll start with Adam because, you know, Eve was tempted by Satan, and she gave in to the temptation and ate of the forbidden fruit. She gave it to Adam, and he willingly took it, even without being tempted. And God, of course, confronted Adam, and this is Genesis 12, and the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Well, who is Adam blaming for the sin committed? He's blaming God for giving him a wife, a helpmeet. There's no excuse for that. Here's another example. Let's go to Job 2:9. Job's wife, we don't know her name, but we know that she blamed God, as having lost 10 children is a tragic situation. I can relate to losing one child, but I have difficulty thinking about losing 10 all at once. Well, that would be tremendous grief, but that's still no excuse for blaming God as she did. As she then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." In other words, she's blaming God. And of course, Satan brought on Job's suffering, but his wife blamed God. Now, Job remained faithful. But we know the devil, old Satan, was the one responsible for the taking of 10 children at once. But you know, this is something sometimes people say, "The devil made me do it." Well, that's not going to hold up before God on the day of judgment. We all should know that. Someone may say, "But Lord, thou did not make it plain enough. What was I to do to be saved was something I didn't understand. I was so confused." Will that work on the day of judgment? No, of course not. You have examples in the book of Acts of conversions, how people obey the gospel. It begins in Acts chapter 2, the day the church began. We find Peter and the other apostles preaching Christ as the Messiah, whom they had crucified. Pick up with verse 36 of Acts 2. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, they believed, didn't they? Peter didn't need to tell them to believe. They certainly believed to ask that question. And that was an excellent question. Then Peter, here's his answer, said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." For what purpose, Peter? "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost in the King James. Now, who misunderstood what they were told to do? Were they told to accept Jesus in their heart and accept him as their personal Savior? No, we didn't read that. "You're saved by grace, and grace alone." No, we didn't read that either. "You're saved by faith, and faith alone," though. Did they say anything about faith only salvation? No, we didn't read that. We read that they had to do something in order to accept the grace of God. Certainly the grace of God is involved. But in James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Who misunderstands that? It's too clear. That rules out faith only, grace only. That's not going to stand on the day of judgment, certainly not. And so we see here in verse 41, then they that gladly received what? His word, were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was one church in Acts 2, and there's one true church still today. That's the church we're added to when we obey the gospel. And no one should misunderstand that. It's not confusing. As you go to chapter 8 in the book of Acts, you'll find the Samaritans. Well, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What happens when you preach Christ? Well, people learn the truth. In this case, they believe Philip's preaching, verse 12, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Now, it doesn't say anything about repentance, but you know that's required. Doesn't say anything about the confession, but we know that's required. Romans 10, 9 and 10, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. As we're going to see in the next example with the Ethiopian eunuch, he certainly made the good confession, so that's included. But each one of the conversions, we're seeing that what put them into contact with the blood of Christ was when they were immersed, baptized, both men and women. Here, even Simon the sorcerer, who was tricking the people there in Samaria, deceiving them with sleight of hand, but they thought he was someone great. But even he obeyed the gospel, verse 13. But he messed up when he wanted to buy the ability to lay on hands and pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. You know, Peter and John, the apostles, had to come to Samaria to do that. Philip was not an apostle. And so, as you see in verse 18, where it begins here, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. He wanted that power. Well, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Therefore repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. O Simon, he said then, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Well, this is the second law of pardon. After one is baptized scripturally and they go back into sin as he did, then they need to, of course, one needs to repent and pray for forgiveness. So we need to understand that, confessing our sins before God, and he's faithful to forgive us. But we're seeing that this is not difficult to understand. That's the point I'm wanting us to really focus on here. And then you go to the next conversion, which is the Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip joined himself to his chariot. He's reading from Isaiah 53 about the suffering Savior. He didn't know who was being referred to. And of course, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, verse 35. And so as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, verse 36. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How did the Ethiopian eunuch know about baptism? Obviously, when Philip preached Jesus, he preached about being baptized for the remission of one's sins. And so Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In other words, he made the good confession unto salvation. Then when they came to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, notice, they both went into the water. It wasn't sprinkling, wasn't pouring. He was immersed. He baptized him, verse 38. And that's when, after coming up out of the water, Philip went on his way as the Lord caught him. The Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and then the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, does anyone misunderstand what one must do in order to contact the precious blood of Christ? It's through the watery grave of baptism, being buried in the death of Christ, as he shed his blood in his death, as we should know from John 19, 33 and 34. Well, we could go on through Acts and notice, of course, Cornelius and his household. Were they not baptized after, of course, hearing the truth, believing, repenting of their sins, and making a good confession? Well, yes. And what about chapter 16 with Lydia and her household? Were they not baptized, of course, after the other steps of salvation? Of course. The Philippian jailer and his household, chapter 16. Yes, he was baptized in his household. The Corinthians in chapter 18, they were all baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in chapter 9, 22 and 26. And Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and what? Wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Well, chapter 19, we don't want to leave that out. Here are the folks in Ephesus that had been baptized under John's baptism. This is after the cross, and that baptism is no longer valid. They didn't even know about the Holy Spirit, and so Paul understood that they were not baptized scripturally. And so then they were baptized by the authority of Christ. Now, as you go through this, what should one conclude? One should conclude that we need to be immersed into Christ under the water to contact his precious blood that washes away our sins. And then he will add us to his body, the true church. That's what we should conclude if we're honest. And so blaming God is not going to work, and trying to say that, well, I was confused. No. We have a responsibility to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. What does it mean to study? It means to dig. Get in there and search the scriptures so we won't be deceived. The problem is not with God, it's with those who refuse to understand. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119:130. But let's go on in our study. Can we blame the preacher if we're lost? Well, there are scores of preachers and teachers who teach false doctrine. They mislead millions of people. Sad to say, that's what's going on still today, and no doubt will continue until the end of time. A number of these TV evangelists are millionaires. People send them their money, even though they're being fleeced. They're not being taught the truth from the Word of God. These are smooth teachers. They're like sheep. You know, they're so humble. But notice Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves," Matthew 7:15. So these false teachers and preachers tell people that they can be saved in ways other than the Lord's way, recorded in the Bible, saying all you have to do is accept the Lord and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved, something to that effect. That's not what we read in the book of Acts, was it? No, we didn't read that. And we didn't read about faith only or grace only. We didn't read that. You know, someone may say on the day of judgment, "But Lord, my preacher did not tell me the truth." Well, that's not going to work before God. We all should know that. as we need to be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. I want people to search the scriptures, not take my word for it. Look up what I'm saying. How many scriptures do you hear me use? Well, is it not that God needs to speak and the preacher needs to be hiding behind the cross, putting Christ forward, not himself? We need to be preachers of the word. Yes, and stay with what God says, but we should encourage others to search out the scriptures for themselves, not take our word for it. God has given us a mind to reason, therefore we must seek after the truth. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7. Yes, we need to understand God wants us to reason with our minds. In the Old Testament, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Yes. And in the New Testament, what was Paul doing? On the Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, Acts 17. Notice verse 2. 3 days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Chapter 18, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Chapter 24, 25, before Felix, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, self-control, and judgment to come. And old Felix, what did he do? He trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." Did that convenient season ever come about? We don't read about it. Well, what about us? Are we waiting for a convenient season and putting off obeying the gospel of Christ? Why would someone want to put off saving their soul from eternal damnation by the precious blood of Christ that was shed? We have the opportunity to accept the grace of God, the gift that God has provided for us, but we have to do our part. We have to accept it and do as he says to do, not what someone thinks we are to do. Search the scriptures and reason with our minds. Logic needs to be used. Notice, in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. Well, what about us? Are we able to say that we're made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus by knowing the Holy Scriptures and submitting to them? Well, we need to be able to say that. But let's go on in our study and ask one more question. Can we blame our family and friends if we are lost? Well, many are taught falsely by their family and friends. There's no doubt about that. Some want to stay with their parents' religion or grandparents or wife or husband and go along with their religion, even if it's not the religion of the Bible. You see, many are taught falsely. So many. And we may desire to please our family and friends, but God must come first. There's no question about that. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," that's the church, "and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. And Paul, in writing to the churches of Christ in Galatia, Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we ask ourselves, who are we trying to please? Family and friends or God? That's right. Some may say on the day of judgment, but Lord, my family and friends were misleading. They were a bad influence on me. Well, what's the Lord going to say? That we're excused? No, He won't say that. He'll say, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity, for I never knew you. We have the responsibility to study for ourselves, not accept what family, as close as they are, may tell us, or friends, husband or wives or whatever. You see, in Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We cannot put them first. God must come first. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4:4. We better take that very seriously. So we close again with our question we started out. Who is to blame if I am lost? We will have no one to blame but ourselves. That's the answer. If we are found lost on the day of judgment, we can't blame God. That's not going to work. We can't blame the preacher or the teacher. That's not going to work. We can't blame family and friends. That's not going to work. Therefore, we are left only with ourselves to blame if we will be lost before Christ when He comes again to judge the world in what? In righteousness. Acts 17:31. There is no excuse for being lost. That's the crux of the matter, is it not? We all should know that it is. God has provided the means of our salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. We can't earn salvation, but we must do works of righteousness in accepting God's grace as the sacrifice of Christ, the Father's only begotten Son. That's the means of our salvation. That's God's part. Our part is to obey the gospel. As we've seen in the book of Acts, the examples of conversion. So there is not one reason for refusing to do God's will, but there's plenty of excuses. Are we looking for excuses? Are we ready to do what God says if we have not done so? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. How do we stand right now? Justified before God or lost? We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ. First, we have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, make a change of wills, and do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. And now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He adds us to His body, the true church. And we thank you so much for listening today.